Welcome to the Arkansas Baptist Women Podcast. This year, we are focusing on what it means to be an Arkansas Baptist woman, a woman who loves the Lord, lives on mission for the gospel, is present in her calling, is trained and equipped to lead, and is sold out to Jesus. I'm excited to talk about life, ministry, and our relationship with Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee and join the conversation. Hey, sweet friends, it's Andrea. I hope that your day is off to a great start. I'm so excited to be with you today with my sweet friend, Kelly King. Many of you know Kelly from her role at Lifeway Christian Resources, and today she's coming to talk about her leadership journey. So, Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Andrea. Oh, it's so fun to be with you. This is like being across the couch from a friend, but we're across screens. So,
that's
hey,
right.
We're going to make it work.
Screens work these days, right?
Screens work.
All right. So our listeners, they know you. They love you. They know you primarily because of your role at Lifeway, where you served as the manager of magazines and devotional publishing, as well as women's ministry training. Some of them may have met you at a U-Lead training event, but they may not know about you. So tell us about you, your life, your recent transition back to Oklahoma, and just a little bit about your family.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the family because that's pretty fun to talk about. So I've been married to Vic for 35 years, and we are native Oklahomans, and we live most of our life here. We have two adult children. Both of them are married. Connor is married to Tina, and then Courtney is married to Gage, and they have two precious little ones. We have two grandchildren. I am KK, that is my grandma name, to Lucan and to Adley, who's almost 4 months old now. So our journey has been, we've been in Oklahoma, like I said, all of our lives. That's where we were raised, and then the Lord called us to Nashville about 7 years ago, and it really had such an incredible privilege of serving women all over the country through Lifeway and through our ministry training events, and then, moving into the magazine world. That was a lot of fun, just getting to be part of all that. But in the last year, we knew that at some point we would move probably back to Oklahoma. We weren't sure when that would be, but God just started opening doors in a really unusual way. And the church that we actually got married in, Quell Springs Baptist Church, contacted me, and they just said, hey, you know that we are looking for a women's minister and wanted to know if you would be interested. And I really didn't think much about it. I was like, no, but you're a great church. I'm going to tell everyone they should apply. So, I would encourage people and I would email people. I'm like, apply for this job. It's a great opportunity. And then they came back to me and they were just like, no, we really want to know if you would be interested. And I just kept asking the Lord if that was where he wanted us to be back. And just confirmation after confirmation, Andrea, of God just opening the door for us to move back. And, I knew at the time, I just knew that if I said no to this, that I was going to be somebody else's no in the future for Lifeway. And so it's like I needed to step out of the way so that someone else also gets to walk in obedience to the Lord. And I think that's part of, and we'll talk about that in leadership in general, but I'm so excited. So since January, we moved back to Oklahoma in December. I've been here at Quell Springs Baptist Church for 3 months now, and just loving the ladies here and getting to know them, really just thinking through our next steps of building what it looks like to have a holistic ministry of just prayer and missions and evangelism and discipleship and just building community with the ladies here. And so God has just been really, really good. And we're so happy to be here.
I know you are. And I know Oklahoma is so happy to have you back. When I think about Oklahoma, I think of the beautiful skies and the sunset. It is just gorgeous there. Do your eyes just take it in and you're just like, whoo, it's good to be home.
Yes. And you're right. And I don't think people realize that about Oklahoma, but when you think about big sky in Montana, Oklahoma really has big skies. And so, especially when you're in Oklahoma City and you look west, we tease about the fact that you can see all the way to Amarillo, but the sky is big. We're not hilly like Arkansas, where you've got the beautiful hills and beautiful trees and things like that. And which we love, I love that. But you're right, the sunsets and sunrises are just hard to beat here. And one thing I noticed when I moved to Nashville, I lived there a couple of months. Now it was wintertime, so it's very gray there. But I came back to Texas and I remember thinking, wow, I need my sunglasses. I haven't worn sunglasses in a couple of, months. And when we moved back here, I thought the same thing. I thought, where are my sunglasses? Because I need sunglasses. It's bright. It's really bright. So I love it. I love it.
That's great. Well, soak it in, sister. We are so
Yep.
excited for you. All right,
Now
we're
the wind and the tornadoes, they can stay away. But other than that, yeah.
We know about that in Arkansas too. All right, we're going to talk about your leadership journey. Kelly is going to be joining us for Leadership Collective. She's serving as our trainer for the day on April 20th. We're going to tell you more about that throughout our podcast together. But, I just love to hear about people's call to ministry, how God worked in that calling, the different people, the different opportunities he's given them over the years that has shaped their leadership journey. So, Kelly, tell us about yours.
Yeah, for sure. I think in some women, it's really there may not be just this one single moment where you go, okay, that's where I sense my calling. But for me, it was really a progression of God just prompting me and giving me opportunities and then really walking into that and walking in obedience and really experiencing the joy of what it meant to be in ministry. I think women struggle with the whole idea of calling. And I do talk about that some when I meet with women, because I'm like, okay, first of all, every woman has a call to follow Christ. Like that is an initial call. We are all called to serve the body of Christ. Like that is a biblical mandate for all of us. But for some of us, there is going to be a vocational calling that may look a little differently. And it may be something specific that the Lord is saying, I want you to serve me in this particular way. And so, knowing that and walking in that, I think those are things that you do take very carefully, and I think very prayerfully, because you don't want to walk in disobedience of saying, "Well, I think ministry is it. I think that's where I want to be," and not be, because that could be a disaster too. So, I do. I God just has confirmed and affirmed through different people, through different opportunities. And that has just been a lifelong journey. And it started in student ministry. I loved working with students. And it's interesting. I talk to a lot of women that that's not unusual. Like student ministry tends to be a good place to get your feet wet or to even understand what ministry is about. And especially when you're younger too. And so I was just teaching a Sunday school class of girls and loved it. Got involved in women's Bible studies, loved doing women's Bible studies. And I started sensing this just calling of what would it look like to minister to women? And I didn't know exactly what that would look like, but God had always provided opportunities for me to do that. And so I think I try to tell women, just to do the next yes. When the Lord opens the door for you and you get a chance, whether that is, hey, just serving on a team, at your church, or just having six women in your home for a Bible study, or you're leading a small group, or you're leading 10th grade girls every single week in a Sunday school class. That is an incredible like investment. I mean, I see rewards from those investments that I made 30 years ago, when I look back in my 20s or 30s and I think, wow, those investments have still like there's still benefits from that of what I did then, and even the things that we just say yes to. So that, and then as far as people, I was thinking about that, Andrea, and there have been so many people. So I'm almost afraid to like name anybody
You
because
don't
I'm
want
afraid
to miss anybody.
I don't want to miss anybody. But one of the things that when I worked for our state convention in Oklahoma, I did that for 11 years. And I remember my team leader one time, I don't know, just in a conversation, and he said, every person you meet is actually could be a potential job interview. And I thought, that's a weird thing to say. But I've realized the importance of what it means, like just building relationships, and you never know how a lunch meeting or maybe someone introducing you to somebody connects you to something else, and then it connects you to something else. And that is not just a circumstance. I really feel like that is God ordained. Like he has just ordained those places and the appointments of our time. And so the people that God brings into your life, you don't look at them as people to use or to get your way, that you think that you're going to use them to find your path or whatever. But just allow the Lord to humbly, walk in that and just be friends and get to know people, and you just never know. Now, of course, like Chris Adams, you know, she is the grandmother of mothers of, you know, women's ministry, you know, and a lot of women are, but you know, for her to be at Lifeway 22 years or maybe even a little longer, and to really develop and pioneer what it looked like for women to minister in the local church, that was huge. And so, you know, getting to know her as a state leader, and then, you know, just getting to have that friendship with her, getting to know women in WMU, and getting to know their heart for missions, and seeing how the Lord is just using them all over the world. Those are all things I think that God uses. So definitely some incredible people that have paved the way for you and I that, man, I can't wait to, there'll be some women I'm sure that we will get to meet in heaven, Andrea, that we can just thank them for all the work they've done.
And I love that concept or that visual picture of a journey, because not only is it a journey for us individually, but you're right, it's collectively a journey. And I mean, just that great cloud of witnesses that God has put before us, who we, and that's another thing I think that's inspiring and encouraging to me, how our yes ultimately will encourage that next generation to also say yes.
Yeah,
You
for
know, and
sure.
so that's just so very exciting. And I want you to know, for so many women out there, you're on their list of people that God has used, myself included, to both encourage and to challenge, and then also just to like give that little nudge when needed, just to say, take that next yes, that next step of obedience and faith. And so that's so exciting. So you started in student ministry and then developed into women's ministry, and both in Oklahoma and nationally, and it's just kind of a full circle moment for you to be back in Oklahoma then.
Well, and you know, Andrea, I'm going to mention this about you because I think, you know, when you came in, like when I started working in Nashville and you reached out to me, you made the effort to get to know me too. And I think it does go both ways. And you purposely said, I'm going to be in the Nashville area. You know, can we go to dinner? Can we meet for lunch? I don't remember, you know. And so it goes both ways, doesn't it?
That's
Like we
so
need to be
true.
intentional about relationships and building and not be afraid. Like people will give you themselves when they really are investing in people. So I don't think it's asking too much. You know, when, you know, if someone emails me or they text me and they're like, hey, would you have time for coffee? And if I do, I'm gonna do that. You know, now sometimes I can't, but I'm not gonna get to know. I just went to lunch today with someone, a lady in our church. She's widowed and she works full time for Campus Crusade and she's doing incredible ministry. And you know, I didn't really know her that well. I've just gotten to meet her, but it's sitting down across from someone, spending an hour with them, hearing their story, them getting to know you. And, you know, she walked away all in. Like, what can I
Yes.
do, Kelly? How can I serve? And I think
Okay.
that it's just investments, right?
And it's really, you're right, it's relationships. At the end of the day, it's relationships for God's glory, for the furtherance of his kingdom. And he brings, good out of that for us, which is just his
For
kingdom
sure.
economy for sure. Well, when I think of leaders across the SBC and just, women who are just pioneering and trailblazing, you are absolutely at the top of the list, and you have poured into my leadership journey in so many ways. I'm going to share a little bit of that, probably at Leadership Collective. But I want to just ask you, what is your go-to advice, leadership advice, for leaders, women's leaders, or just whomever you may be investing in? What are some just tried and true thoughts that have resonated within your journey?
Well, number one, it doesn't it all it all goes back to what is your relationship with the Lord look like? And so, oh, you can have a lot of ambition and you can have a lot of even just, you know, checking your motives of where what you want to do and what you think you should be doing. But it all comes down to, hey, how am I spending time with the Lord each day? Am I in His Word? Am I seeking Him? Am I truly learning? Am I? And so I would start there with anyone as advice. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Abide in Christ. Be close to Him. Stay close to Him. Stay close to His Word. If you want to know His will, you've got to know His Word, and that is just tried and true. Second of all, is you know, goes back to relationships. Get to know people, get to know their stories. Everyone has a story. And so, and I've been, in fact, I texted someone today and I was just like, I feel like I prejudged someone, and I felt like I maybe didn't give them the benefit of the doubt of something. But when you sit down and you hear their story or you hear what's going on in their life, then it really does kind of break down some barriers. So I think that's always good too, is not to be quick to, don't be quick to judge people. Also, I just think, and this is such an old saying, but leaders are learners. Like, we just never stop learning from one another, from the books we read, from the things we hear, from just the, what are we learning? I think that's really important too. And I already said this, but I also said, just saying that next yes. I think that there are women who see themselves in a position, but it may be that the next thing they need to do is put out the handouts, put out the centerpieces, pick up the dirty tablecloths. And there's every bit that is serving the Lord as standing on a stage. And I just wish that women would take a step back sometimes and say, hey, if I'm being asked to do this one little thing, that's what I need to do. And I still remember Andrea being just on a women's leadership team, being at our church's retreat. And I remember seeing a friend getting to be the main speaker. I mean, like, she was the stage speaker, and I just remember thinking, I want to do that. Like, I want to teach God's word that way, and I don't know why God isn't doing that in my life. And I remember putting the handouts, the questions on the table, and a sweet mentor, walked beside me, and she said, "What you're doing right now is just as important as what she's doing." She didn't know what I was thinking. She didn't know what I was going through at the time. It meant everything to me to say, okay, this is what my assignment is right now. With a little.
Yeah, that's so good. And that just reminds me of this statement that has been so encouraging to me over the journey: where God guides, he provides. And it's often through that next yes that we see that next opportunity. And we don't see the big picture, but thankfully God has that big picture hidden in his heart and in his mind. And we get to surrender to his will and be present in the moment and be joyful in it too. And that's something the Lord's taught me about is, enjoy his presence and enjoy what he's doing in that moment, and don't let looking at the next thing or looking for the next thing steal your joy in the in where you are right now.
Well,
So
and you're in a season too that your boys are, older, a little bit older now. But were you ever in a season where you were just like itching to do the next thing, but the Lord was holding you back because he wanted you to enjoy the season you were in? I don't know what that was like for you, but for me, it was like I knew like the Lord was calling me to something, but I also needed to understand that that wasn't my season yet. Did that feel like, wait,
Oh,
did you feel that?
absolutely. And I think in that process, God fights for our heart because he wants us to want him, and he knows our ultimate satisfaction will be in him and fulfilled through him, because the next thing's just the next thing that leads to us wanting the next thing. And so if we're on the rat race or on the hamster wheel of things, then it's all for naught. And so, like, ministering out of the overflow, which is what you're talking about, allows us to be present in that moment. And really, it really tests why we are doing what we're doing, which I think is a big part of our leadership journey. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it really for the furtherance of his kingdom, or is it maybe because we need to feel something in that moment? So, boy, that's an onion that we could definitely peel.
Oh man, it just reveals your heart, doesn't it? Oh, and you want your heart to be so pure, and sometimes you just go, oh, why? Why do I fight the flesh?
Amen. Amen. But God is so gracious. He's so gracious. And I can testify to that. Each and every time that I get off course, he is so faithful, just to through his word, usually through good accountability. He reveals my heart and allows and invites us to refocus on him. So thankful for that. Let's talk a little bit about just the leadership landscape out there for women. You know, there's barriers, there's opportunities. All of us face that in leadership, but especially for women, you know, in ministry, there's some barriers, there's some challenges, there's some opportunities. So what are some of the things that you see happening for women in ministry in this current ministry landscape?
More than half of your congregation is consist of women. So some of the challenges, and we've seen this through the Lifeway Women Research, is that 83% of women who are serving in a leadership capacity are volunteers. Now, I've had some people push back a little bit on me like that, as far as they've said, well, yeah, but look at churches in general, the number of bivocational pastors. A lot of pastors aren't, you know, fully funded, whatever. But it's such a majority for women. And it's because women will serve. Women serve out of just that desire to follow the Lord. And so I think they do it at whatever cost. I know one of my best friends works in a pretty much a full-time capacity, but never gets paid. Now, that's her choice. But also, we need to honor that. And I think, you know, Jen Wilkin has talked a little bit about that. Like, we honor people with what they invest in. And then, so that's a challenge and a little bit of a barrier. I wish that more churches could see the value of women on their staff. You know, when I look at the church that I'm in right now, it's a fairly large church. But when you would look at women who would be considered in maybe a ministerial role, there's me, there's the girls student ministry associate, and then also we've got a preschool and the childcare kind of person. And so we're not pastors, we don't call ourselves that, but yet we are working in, you know, among the church staff, you know. And so I'm grateful for a church that sees the value of women, and I do think that can be an opportunity for churches to kind of see that. And you know, even if you can't pay someone, how are you showing them honor? I think that's
a providing a seat at the table, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, that, and that, that's been a bunch of my story. A lot of my story is, you know, I've always had pastors, leaders who have seen gifting in me, called it out, and provided an avenue for me to serve in a way that was honoring to the Lord and helpful to the church. You know, and that to me is what's so exciting for the next generation coming up, is that we do see, I think, opportunities for that to happen, continued opportunities for that to happen. And I hope it's more the norm, you know, and instead of just like kind of this off chance that you get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I hear what you're saying on that. Like, you know, and the Lifeway research points that out. Mm-hmm. There is a great need, and there's also a willingness among women to serve.
Yes, absolutely. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, even when you look at that majority of women who aren't getting paid, they will still tell you that they find great value in their ministry to women. They see the importance of what's happening there. So, yeah, you're right.
Well, it's exciting. And we're going to talk about all of that at mm-hmm. Leadership Collective. I think you're going to maybe mention the Lifeway research. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to be talking about nuts and bolts of ministry to women, why women's, you know, ministry to women is not just nice, it's necessary. We're going to talk mm-hmm. about the value of ministry to women. So tell us just a little bit about what you hope a ministry team or a ministry leader can gain by attending Leadership Collective.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I really hope that women will come away with are just some practical handles. Like, they can just take back some things that we'll spend the morning really talking a little bit. We are going to look at that research, and we're going to look at some of the things we learned that is happening, you know, things that are working in churches, so that people can, you know, the women who come can maybe say, is that part of what we're doing in our church? You know, how are we doing that? So we'll have those conversations, and we'll look at some biblical women of just maybe the importance of why they were so necessary to the early church and the importance of what they did. So we'll take a little bit of time of doing that. And then the afternoon, we're going to be looking at some nuts and bolts. So that really some very practical things like budgeting. We're going to look at how to survey your women, how to assess the needs of your women. We'll look at, I think one of the things that we were going to talk about is even just And I'm budgeting. Did I say that already? Did I say budgeting? So yes. So we're going to talk about budgeting. We're going to talk about surveys, how to work with men, how to do an agenda, how to do a good meeting, you know, how to plan a meeting for your leaders and stuff. So we're going to try to do some things that I hope women will, it's not just going to be information, but also, and I love that you guys do this. I love the format that we'll be at round tables and that there will be plenty of time for you to interact with each other, because I do think learning happens in community a lot of times. So, yeah, I'm going to download some information, but then you guys get to talk about it. And how does this work in my church?
It's going to be an exciting day. We want to give a shout out to Sherry Edwards, who is helping to organize it along with her network team. They are boots on the ground, putting the plans together, making sure that all the details are covered. And we're so thankful for everyone who is a part of this day. Kelly, I know that you're going to mention your book, which is Ministry to Women, The Essential Guide for Leading Women in the Local Church. That will be in the show notes. So you can click to learn more about that. And then just very practical information for wherever a woman is in her leadership journey. I think there'll be something for everybody, for an established leader, as well as a potential leader, for someone who's been in ministry for years, and for that person who is just starting out. So we're so excited. One last question, and then we'll share all the details about Leadership Collective. What is your prayer for leaders across Arkansas? We'd love to hear your heart on that.
Wow, that is a great question, Andrea. And my prayer really for your leaders is that they will be encouraged. I really do believe, like, we have to encourage one another. And so I want them to find encouragement, but I also want them to feel equipped. And so the encouragement and I want them to feel confident, and competent in what God has called them to do. So that's my prayer.
Amen. And we are praying for you. We're praying for
Yes.
your family during this time as you settle and continue to get established there in Oklahoma, for your children and grandchildren, just a sweet time of just reunion and fellowship with them. And then also just for the Lord's protection over your family during this season. We'll be praying you to Arkansas and then praying you all the way back to Oklahoma. So friends, it is time to register for Leadership Collective. It is a one-day conference for women's ministry leaders. It's happening at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention on April 20th. We will get together. We will have food. You know, we're Baptists, so we're going to have plenty of food. We're going to have resources. We're going to have networking time. There'll be a panel. Kelly will lead us in two different sessions. $25 covers your meals. It covers all of your resources. So it is a steal of a deal. You can learn more and register at absc.org/abwcollective. So Kelly, we will see you soon. And women of Arkansas, we want you to know how much we love you. We're praying for you, and we are here to serve alongside of you. We hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening. I hope today's episode helps you embrace the full, free, abundant life that Jesus provides. Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to the Arkansas Baptist Women Podcast. If you would like more encouragement to help you grow in your faith, visit our website at absc.org/abw. Come back next time as we continue to talk about how we can worship, grow, connect, serve, and share together. I can't wait to talk to you soon.